Please take your Bibles today and turn to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 22, Genesis 22. I see that all the children, just a small portion. I don't know if you heard the high attendance of children. I think Tuesday night was 191 kids, and so pretty amazing. I'm so thankful for those that came, and I'm sure they got a lot out of it. Genesis chapter 22. We've been in the book of Genesis for some time now, and you saw God call Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. And then there a series of events in his life gets him to this point where God's going to use him because of his obedience to be a great blessing. And I think it's that we need to recognize that God is calling us kind of in the same way Abraham, that God has a challenge for us, and that when we are obedient in that challenge, there's always great blessings that follow, not just for ourselves, but for all those around us. So let me read to you out of the book of Genesis. Chapter 22 says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell of thee. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went to the place which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder, and worship, and will come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand, and the knife, and they both went them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told of him. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, that only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your provision of life. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. And thank you, Lord, for the trials and temptations that come upon us, and that you're always there to provide. So, Lord, today I pray in the next few minutes that we would fix our eyes upon you, that we would hear you and your call for us to be obedient, and that we would follow through, not withholding anything, but simply present ourselves before you to do your will. So, Lord, today I pray that you give me unction to speak your word, give me clarity of voice and mind. Let me say those things that are needful and necessary. And, Lord, I pray for your spirit to convict, guide, and lead us, that when we leave this place, we're fully yours. Help us now, Father. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard about a couple that had a rebellious teenage son. I'm telling you, they fought him left and right, left and right, left and right. It just seems like always a trouble. They had this great family vacation plan to the Mediterranean. And lo and behold, right before they leave, he just put his foot down and says, I am not going. And so they finally had to relent. They left him there. They went on their trip. And so this is before cell phones and stuff. And so they kept writing little notes and postcards and send them back. On one of the postcards, his mother said, Me and your dad are standing on the place where ancient women offered their children to the gods by throwing them off the cliff. P.S. I wish you were here. I'm reminded that sometimes our children give us fits, amen, but lo and behold, they are so valuable to us. We love them, we care for them, and I think you're going to see that in this passage, that this man named Abraham was given a child named Isaac, whom he truly loved, and yet God calls him to make an ultimate sacrifice. I want us to see through that time how Abraham was obedient to the call of God, that God used him mightily because of his faithfulness, and I want us to be a faithful people when we leave this to doing the very will of God. So in this passage, there's some things I want you to see. First, there's Abraham's audit. Again, in the last 10 or so chapters, starting in chapter 12, we discovered that Abraham has many challenges. He has a great relationship with the Lord, though. We recognize that he was willing to simply walk by faith. He's a man that truly loves God. Matter of fact, the New Testament says this about him in James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I want you to understand how important that is, because sometimes when bad things happen in our life, we think, well, maybe God doesn't love us. Maybe God's not close to us. Maybe God doesn't care about us. But I'm telling you, God does. And even in our tough times, our tough situations, we recognize God is there and he is for us. And so we're going to find that Abraham is brought to a tough situation when he must choose between God and his will and his own self and his own son. And so notice verse 1 again. It says, it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. I want you to recognize this temptation was not a temptation to do evil, but a temptation to do good. But there's something else I want you to understand. First, there's the schedule of the test. The schedule of the test, or you could say the time frame. And it says, again in verse 1, and it came to pass after these things. I hope that you will understand that the test of a lifetime did not come very early in his career with the Lord. It didn't come when he first said yes to Christ or first said yes to the Lord. But only after a great time of maturing, and did he understand the Lord well, was he able to complete this hardship or this trial. And I'm reminded that in our life that God will give us temptations and trials, but not all at one time. Matter of fact, when you read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, you hear this. There has no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you're able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And so again, after these things, we find that Abraham had been tested already many times. I think about Genesis chapter 12. There was the parting test. Are you willing to part from your mother and father and go into a country I've called you? Abraham passed that test with flying colors. He left those things. There's the prosperity test in Genesis chapter 13. Abraham's crowd was so big and his herd was so big and his lot, his nephew had pastures or sheep or lambs, all those that were also great in number. And so he had to say, you choose where you want to go. I'm willing to forfeit what I have. And so the prosperity test was passed. He was willing to trust God over his prosperity. There's the protection test. If you go back to Genesis 12, Abraham went to a foreign country, and lo and behold, he lied because he was scared for his life. Even after God said, I'm going to make you a great nation, he failed that test, but God had mercy and grace and brought him through it. And then in chapter 21, we find there's the priority test. Who will you choose, your son Isaac, whom I've given you, or Ishmael, who came from Hagar? And so he chose the right one, Ishmael, to send away, and Isaac to keep. And so the test is, will you put me first? I want you to understand, in life, it's not about one big test, but a series of tests that really define who we are. Let me say that again in maybe a little different way. Our life is not defined by one big test, but a series of tests, a series of tough times that really define who we are. And just because you get through one test with flying colors does not mean there won't be another. Matter of fact, I can promise you there will be another test in your life. As long as you live, you will face tests. So I'm reminded again, after these things, the schedules of tests in our life, we will fail some, we will overcome some. But the main thing is, keep marching forward. Not only the schedule of the test, but now the source of the test. You must see where these tests come from. Again, verse 1 says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. Verse 2 says, and he said, which is God, take thy son. So we recognize this test is from the Lord. From our vantage point, it may look as if it was bad, but I'm telling you, it is not bad. James chapter 1, verse 13 says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, it's not a contradiction here, but the thing that Abraham will face is not to sin, but to follow the Lord. And so there's a difference between a temptation to do wicked and a temptation to do good. God did prove him. God did test him. And I think we need to recognize ourselves. We must be tested as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. That word prove is the same equivalent in the Greek as the Hebrew there about testing ourselves to make sure we're on that right path. Why be tested? A faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. A faith that is not tested cannot be trusted. Would you ride in an airplane that had never been tested before? No, you would not. Would you ride with a pilot that had never been tested? No, you not. Would you take medication that had not been tested? No, you would not. And so we need those tests in our life to show what is true and right. That test in life does much for us. And so trials and testing go hand in hand. They do something for us. Sometimes they physically and emotionally humble us. The Apostle Paul had some tests. The great Apostle Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 12:7, he says, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelation, there was given me a thorn in the flesh." That's a test. "The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So sometimes tests given from God humble us, cause us to back up and recognize the value of life. Sometimes the tests are given not to humble us, but to grow us spiritually. Hebrews chapter 12 says this, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons." God brings us to a point to chasten us, to test us, to prove us in one sense, to grow us spiritually. James speaks about these testings. He said, "My brethren," in chapter 1, "my brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing that the trying your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing." God is testing Abraham to bring him to a point that he will fully trust in him. What is the test? Verse 2. "And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon the mountain, which I will tell of thee." You can really break this test down into two things. One, do you believe what I have promised? Do you believe what I promised? Twice God had promised Abraham that through his son Isaac, the seed of a nation would be established. Genesis chapter 17, it says this in verse 19. "And God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him." God promised that through Isaac, he would raise up a nation. Same thing in Genesis chapter 21. "And God said to Abraham, Let it not be grievous in thy sight of the lad, because of thy bondwoman, and that Sarah hath said unto thee, Hearken unto her voice. For in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Twice God promised that Isaac would thrive and grow and become a great nation. Abraham heard the promise of God and believed, and so should we. If God's speaking to you today, if God's calling you to do something, believe his promise. You can trust him. I'm reminded of Titus chapter 1 that says, "In the hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began." God cannot lie. When God speaks it, it must come to pass. I wonder, have you truly trusted the Lord fully? Has God called you to do something? Are you willing to say yes, believing his promises? Secondly, we find in this idea is not just believing what God promised, but is there anything more important than me? God was asking Abraham, is there anything more important than me? We find Abraham's already in Genesis 12 willing to part with his father. We find in chapter 13 he was willing to part with his nephew Lot, really to part with his fortune. But now how about his favorite son? I'm reminded that God had given him the son, and the question seems to be saying, will you give him back? The test is whether the Lord is more important than anything else, more than family or friends or fortune or fun or toys or fame or frills. Are you willing to put all that behind me? Corrie ten Boom said this, which has stuck with me the last few weeks. "I have learned not to hold anything too tightly so that God does not have to pry them out of my hands." Let me say that again. "I have learned not to hold onto things too tightly so God does not have to pry them out of my hands." I wonder today, are we willing to put the Lord first? Is there anything in our life, any person or possession, that hinders us from serving the Lord? Are we willing to put everything down in the Lord over all these things? Abraham was extremely rich, and yet his great possession was his son Isaac. I think about the disciples, James and John, they had to leave something behind, their fishing boats and their father to follow Jesus. The rich man in Mark chapter 10 was called to get rid of those possessions in order to follow Jesus. And so what I'm saying is in our life today, there's some things, if they're above God, they must be put down. If they're above the Lord, they must be taken away. Warren Wiersbe, the great preacher and commentator, said this: our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable, to do what seems unreasonable, and expect what seems impossible. Whether you see Joseph in the prison, or Moses in Israel in the Red Sea, or David in the cave, or Jesus at Calvary, the lesson is the same. We live by promises and not by explanations. And so today the Lord is testing us. And he will ask you, do you believe my promises? And is there anything more important than me? So will you fully trust the Lord today? Will you believe in his promise? Will you make him the priority of your life? Abraham did. That was Abraham's audit. But secondly, there's Abraham's allegiance. Verse 3 says this: and Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac and his son and clave wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went to the place which God had told him. The test is to see whether Abraham considered God important. And so that same test is for us. And we will see some of the same things. There's going to be a call from God. There's going to be a crisis to stop us. There's going to be a contemplation of why and the courage to follow. Now, you don't find this written out in the scripture, but I'm sure in our life we have seen that when God calls us to do something impossible, we have all these range of emotions. But yet God is behind all that and is willing and able to get us through that. And so we see this in his life. Notice the priority of Abraham, the priority of Abraham. He rose up early. You know, today we find that there are people that will say, well, someday I'm going to serve the Lord. Someday I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing and get involved in the church. Someday I'm going to get busy about doing the Lord's will. Someday. Let me encourage you to say, today is that day. We need to learn what now means and follow him as Abraham did. I remember that story about this kid that joined the military, kind of a rebellious kid in one sense. They got back home, that the guy asked him, well, did you learn anything? He said, I learned what now meant. When the boot, the guy says, now, you do it right now. I wonder, have we been guilty in our life about, I will serve the Lord someday? I can testify about my life. God called me to preach at maybe a 14 or 15 years old kid, and I said, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you, no thank you, for about 10 years, maybe longer, before I finally said yes. I regret that in one sense, but through that time, God still blessed, but I'm telling you, I wonder what I missed in those times when I could have been more faithful to the Lord. So start with a small step of faith today in the direction God is calling you and see what God will do. Abraham gathered those things that began to move forward. Notice not just the priority of rising early, but now the preparation of Abraham. Again, he saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him. He took the wood and the burnt offering. He did those things. If you read verse 6, he even brought fire. And so he didn't want anything to stop him. He didn't want anything to have an excuse of why he was not doing God's will. He gathered everything necessary to serve, the wood, the fire, and the desire to do the will of God. So many times we think in our life, well, I'll do that if God provides. If God makes a way, if God opens the door, if God does these things. I'm telling you, if God's called you, you ought to bust down the doors to do the will of God. He left nothing to chance. Abraham found a way to do what God said. He took responsibility of the call and did that. He prepared himself to worship. He prepared himself to be obedient. I wonder today, as we think about worship this morning, if we think about our life after this, will we be prepared to do what God says? Will we simply do and be faithful? Quit making excuses for not doing God's will. Rise up and follow him. The priority of Abraham, the preparation of Abraham, and thirdly, the persistence of Abraham. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes, it says in verse 4, and saw the place afar off. 3 days he had to travel with the thought, I've got to sacrifice my son. 3 days of soul searching, 3 days of eternal disputes, consequences, 3 days of searching for answers, 3 days saying, I can't do this, this is too much. 3 days to turn around and say, I will not do this. People many times start out good in their Christian faith. They make a profession of faith. It is an exciting time in their life. They are baptized, and man, they come out of the waters on fire for God, but sometimes it dwindles in their life. It's a journey in life. But just know God desires that we remain faithful. Even in those hard times, 3 days of saying, maybe I ought to back out and do something different, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place and continued forward. Notice the parting of Abraham. Verse 5 says this, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here ye with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again. And so he leaves those people behind that may hinder him." So there's going to be a parting of those two young men. And the thought was, I can't let anything stand in my way. And so I got to walk away from these two guys. So I'm reminded that sometimes there's people around us that want to hinder us from walking and doing the will of God. Sometimes in our life there's people that are close to us, that have been faithful to us, that may hinder us from being where God wants us to be. So he leaves those two young men around. I'm sure that when Isaac left the night to slay his son, those two guys probably would have said, what are you doing and trying to stop him? And so our life today must recognize there's some things that we got to walk away from. A life filled with sin. Maybe walk away from a job that's pulling you from serving the Lord. Maybe it's a person that's trying to destroy your marriage. Whatever it is, walk away from those things that hinder you. But not just walk away, but walk to a place God has called. Again, verse 4 says, on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. What place is that? Back up to verse 2, Genesis 22. He said, take now thy son, thy only son, Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for burnt offering upon the mountain, which I will tell of thee. Moriah. Now, it's only mentioned twice in the Bible, but when you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 3, you find something interesting there. Solomon says in 2 Chronicles 3:1, and Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in a Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David appeared in the threshing floor of Oran the Jebusite. It is the place of Jerusalem. And let me take it a step further. Moriah is where the cross was. Moriah is where Calvary was. Moriah was a place of sacrifice and worship and victory. God says, walk to that place. I'm telling you today, many people are trying to walk away from the right things. They're trying to walk to all kinds of things. God's calling you to walk to that place of sacrifice, a place where you can trust God, a place that you can know that God is alive and well, a place of victory in our life. So there's the priority, there's the preparation, there's the persistence, there's the parting of Abraham. But lastly, there's the possibilities of Abraham. When he leaves those guys, it says in verse 5, and Abraham said to the young men, abide ye here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. We will go and we will come again. You say, well, Abraham must have missed the idea about sacrifice. No, he knows exactly what it is. He knows the hardships and the trials and the pains. He knows this is not just a little bit of bloodletting. This is a total sacrifice. Matter of fact, when you begin to read about Leviticus and the sacrificial idea or the burnt offering, it says this in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, in his offering of a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer upon of his own voluntarily at the will of the door of the tabernacle of the congregation of the Lord. And he shall put his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be acceptable for him to make an atonement. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. The priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood, sprinkle the blood around about the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle and the congregation, and shall flay the burnt offering and cut it in two pieces. And the sons of Aaron shall put fire upon the altar and lay wood in order upon the fire. And the priests and Aaron's sons shall lay the parts, the heads, the fat in order on the wood. This is the fire which is upon the altar, but his inwards and his legs you shall wash in water, and the priest shall burn it all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offer made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. So a burnt sacrifice, a burnt offering, was not just where we're going to cut it, bleed a little bit, but no, you were to kill the sacrifice, cut the sacrifice in pieces, and place every part on the altar to burn before the Lord. And so you say, well, how can you say we're going to go and come back again? How can you say we're going to go worship and return? Well, the first time you see a glimmer of hope in the eyes of Abraham, he recognizes by faith God has a plan. Remember, God's already promised through Isaac he's going to do something great. I'm reminded of Hebrews chapter 11, speaking about this same passage. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. and he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence we also receive him in a figure. Abraham didn't understand everything, but he knew this. God promised him, and that even if he had to slay his son and put him on the altar and burn him as a sacrifice, that somehow God would raise him back up from the dead. He didn't know all the details. He just knew God was faithful and that God had promised. In our life today, we may not all understand the great details that God has for us about our life and how things are, but just know this. God has promised us some promises that he cannot back away in. And if we'll believe in that, man, God has a plan that will work out great for us. So let me encourage you to surrender totally to the Lord. Simply do his good will. But before that, you must ask, what is God calling you to do? I can tell you, surrender. Where is God leading you to? Close to his side. So is there a priority in your life for the will of God? Are you actively obeying that will? If not, then start that journey today. Well, there's a third point I want you to see, a short point, but I think we need to understand. There's Abraham's acknowledgement. We find his audit, we find his allegiance, but now Abraham's acknowledgement. He will acknowledge God's power and provision by his actions and his answer to his son. He will acknowledge that God is able to do, as he says, even when it seems impossible. So notice the first thing I want you to quickly see in this short point. There's the burdens carried. When you find verse 6, it says, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac, his son, took the fire in his hand and knife, and they both went of them together. Isaac picks up the wood. Isaac carries the burden. Isaac walks. He is a picture of Christ in one sense. Christ took on the cross for us as a willing sacrifice. But he's also a picture of us, that we need to be willing to pick up our wood, to pick up our cross daily, as the word says, willing to simply be where we should. Then notice the burdening question in verse 8. It says this. Or let me read verse 7. And Isaac spoke unto his father Abraham and said, My father, he said, Here am I, my son. He said, Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Verse 8 says, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. The idea that God will provide, probably Isaac had seen this over and over again. He had understood that what sacrifice was. He had seen this play out time and time again. He saw all the things except for one, and that was the sacrifice. Where is the lamb? We recognize that God will provide a lamb. I'm recognizing that for ourselves today in Philippians 4:19. It says, My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He will provide. Then there's the binding with cords. Verse 9 says, And they came to the place which God had told of him, and Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him upon the altar upon the wood. Now, we don't know how old Isaac is at this point. Some say he's a teenager. Some say he's 20. Some would even say maybe 25. We don't know the time frame exactly. But we do know this. He's old enough to carry a big bundle of wood, big enough to burn a living sacrifice. And secondly, we know that he's old enough to outrun Abraham. Amen? I'm pretty sure that at 15, 20, or 25, I can outrun any 100-year-old around. And I'm pretty sure I'd be willing to do that if he pulled out a knife. But he did not run. He was willingly bound and became a living sacrifice. Romans chapter 12 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, that you may be wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And so that living sacrifice, willing to be bound, it is necessary to be bound, because the problem with a sacrifice, when you crawl on the altar, when the fire is lit, it is easy to crawl back off. Many have said that we want to be a living sacrifice, and yet in the heat of the moment, in the heat of the battle of our everyday life, we want to crawl off the altar to save ourselves. This young man, Isaac, was willing to acknowledge God and willing to acknowledge his father with trust and be bound and climbed on. And so we find Abraham acknowledges actions that God would provide. Isaac acknowledges his actions that God would provide. And the question is, does our life acknowledge that God will provide as well? So look how all this ends. And here's the last point. Not just Abraham's audit and his allegiance and his acknowledgement, but Abraham's award. Abraham simply followed the commands of the Lord, willing to trust His promises over everything else. So notice first his procedure. The procedure of Abraham in verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. So remember the picture. He's built the altar. He's laid the wood there. He's got everything ready. He's bound his son. He's placed him on the top of the wood. Now he reaches down and pulls out the knife. And as he pulls out the knife, notice verse 11. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. In the same moment Abraham raises his knife, the Lord raises his voice. Lord, did you change your mind? God never wanted Isaac. He always wanted Abraham. God never wanted the death. He wanted life. God never wanted pain and suffering. He wanted Abraham to fully trust him. So then verse 12 again says, Seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son from me. The thing that was most precious to Abraham, he was willing to give to the Lord. He is a man sold out for the Lord. I hear today many times, I hear myself speak that, but I wonder how many times we truly mean that. That we claim to be sold for our Lord. That we will simply do what God says. And yet I look around and see, well, I don't go to church because it's my only day off. I don't give because it's my money and not yours. I don't serve because it's my time and my energy and my effort, not yours. I wonder today what we withhold from God. Abraham willing to offer everything that was valuable to him. And God sees and responds. He remembers that God gave. And he responds back to God by giving. So notice, not just the procedure, but now the provision. Verse 13, And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and looked, behold, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. In the moment that this man, Abraham, reacts and responds, that very moment God provides. See the lamb. The lamb's been there the whole time. The lamb was caught in the thicket. He just didn't magically appear. He was there. Abraham just didn't see him, but God had already provided. And so in our life, we can see the same thing, that God provides for us, that God has a plan for us. If we're willing to lay ourselves on the altar, how great God will simply provide in those times we need. Verse 14 says, Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. It is said this day, in the mount the Lord it shall be seen. It shall be seen what? His promise and his provision. I'm telling you today, that place still stands. The Jehovah Jireh, God provides for us. God has promised it. Will we trust him? God has asked for it. Will we give it him? God has provided for us. Will we praise him? That's exactly what takes place. The last is the promise of a blessing to him and his heirs. When you start at verse 15, it says, The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Just as he called the first time, now he calls the second time. 16 says, And he said, By myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and not withheld it, thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice. You say, man, I need to obey the Lord. What does God want me to do? 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 says, And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he gave us commandment. God's calling us to serve him. God's calling us to seek his will. God's calling us to do those things and all the blessings he has for us. If you know the story, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Jacob has the 12 sons. Through one of them was named Judah. And through the line of the tribe of Judah, we become Christ Jesus. Not only did God bless Abraham in his day and the generations that followed, but now today we're blessed because of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ was born to all the world, that whosoever calls on him shall be saved. Through whose obedience we find Christ, and Christ calls us to obey him. So let me ask you, are you obedient to the call of God today? Your obedience affects everything, not just your life, but your family's life. Take that step of faith today. Trust the Lord. I can promise you, you will be thankful. You will be glad. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads this morning just for a moment. It's an odd thing we think about God calling someone to give up something of such great value. But I'm reminded in the scriptures how God did the same for us. That God was willing to give his son, his only son, for us. To lay down his life that we may pick it back up. To lay down his life that we may have life everlasting. To lay down his life that we may be blessed. And that blessing is extended to all peoples. If you're here tomorrow, this morning and never said yes to Christ, why not say yes to him? If you've never recognized his sacrifice of his son, why not respond by believing today? What does that look like? That means you saying yes to him. Again, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Maybe in the quietness of your heart right now, say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please forgive my sins. Come into life and save me. I believe you. The Bible says he makes good on his promises and his promise to save us if you truly meant that prayer. And then don't stop there. Take a step of faith. Do his will. Maybe here today and you've done that, but now seem not where you need to be. Recommit, reestablish, call on God. God is rich in mercy and grace, desiring for us to come to him. Maybe today God's calling you to this altar to pray for somebody or pray for yourself. Maybe it's church membership and God wants you to be a part of this place. Whatever it is, whatever the call of God is in your life, don't say no. Say yes and find out about those blessings that God has in store for you. Father, we're thankful today for all those things that you have given us, all the many things that you have poured out in our life. We say thank you for those. The greatest of salvation. And so, Lord, today I pray that you would just burn in our hearts a desire to be close to you. For some, that means for the first time to step out. For others, that means to recommit. Whatever it is, Lord, just convict them, guide them, lead them to that point where they understand fully that you're in control. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. Bless the invitation. Bless your people in Jesus' name.